listening to The Crock. KNNA 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother, North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNALP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War Podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's the Civil War Podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m., right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
On a Tangent is a show about superheroes and their amazing powers. Adam recently watched the entire solar eclipse start to finish without once needing to use those special glasses. Jim frequently consumes Play-Doh with deli mustard just because his daughters asked him so politely. David has the power to wax his armpits and run long, grueling races for no reason at all. Eric has the power to analyze all the fun out of any movie you choose. Listen to Off on a Tangent live almost every Saturday at 7 to 9 p.m. only on KNNA.
Hi there, I'm old lovable Jack Kirk.
And I am Nancy. And every Friday night on FM 95.7, Jack and I co-host a big band swing-era program that we call When Music Was Music.
We do our program live every Friday night from 7 to 9. And since we are live, there are no do-overs for Nancy and me. You get our stumbling over words, our bantering back and forth, and all the rest of our bloopers.
It's all part of the fun, and we do it every Friday night from 7 to 9 here on The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7.
Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any care to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
95.7 FM, The Cross, has limited range. Because we are a low-power radio station, KNNA doesn't reach much farther than within Lancaster County. In some cases, you can hear us as far as the four corners of Ashland, Portland, Raymond, and Denton. In other cases, you can hear KNNA, The Cross, in Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio, Montana, Washington, Alaska, even England, using our web or the app, of course. That's right, we may be little, but we are heard throughout the nation and the world.
If you have questions you have been wanting to ask a pastor, but haven't for whatever reason, then here is your chance. You can send your questions to the Y-Files, where we will then ask your question on the Y-Files program on your behalf. Just go to the Y-Files Facebook page and submit a question. It's that easy. Tune in to the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. for new episodes. You don't want to pass this up. Welcome, Lincoln. Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with...
David Sandman, hello.
I didn't say hello, David, did I?
It's not like you can't do it later in the show.
I've done that. I have done that. So this is the Y-Files, like I say, and it's a part of KNNA where we take some controversial or just interesting questions about... almost anything and everything, really. I mean, there's a reason why we call it the Y-Files, because, you know, in a way, it's kind of a spin-off of X-Files, just not so sci-fi-ish.
Yeah.
Not so sci-fi-ish.
It's more in the lines of Christian apologetics.
It is. So. It is. We have discussed the validity of the Bible. Did Jesus actually exist? Is Jesus God? Did he actually resurrect from the dead? We've talked about...
Communion.
We've talked about communion and baptism, which I don't think that's done either. I think we've talked about it in two episodes. I don't think we're done with that one yet.
Nope.
We talked about the death penalty last week, which is really interesting.
I missed out on that.
Yeah, well, you had other things that you had to do.
Darn.
And then we've also talked about some other out-of-this-world things, like extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
We have discussed that. And that
strange
was an interesting
sounds
one.
In the sky.
Yeah, we have, and, you know, end of the world stuff, which we will also get to. So we've had a lot of interesting questions that we ask our pastors to come onto the show, guest pastors. And with us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Hankinson, North Dakota. Did I say that right?
You said it correct, yeah.
Hankinson, North Dakota, and he serves at Emmanuel and St. John Church, and they're about 6 miles apart. And you said that was... like in the southwest or southeast corner of North Dakota, right?
Yeah, we're down here in the banana belt of North Dakota, 10 miles from Minnesota and 10 miles from South Dakota. So, you know, it's the nice balmy part of down to minus 20.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Pastor Moline, for coming onto the program. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the spots that we had towards the top of the hour went actually a little bit longer than I anticipated, so our first break is going to be coming up fast, so just so you know. But let's go ahead and get started with this. We have an interesting topic. A lot of it kind of deals with the Old Testament this time around. So, David, give us our first question there.
All righty. When God created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, didn't God tempt Adam and Eve to sin by placing it in their presence?
Okay, now, what I would like to do is quickly read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And it reads, "And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And if I might, this is probably okay since there's only a few minutes, I'd like to also continue reading, believe it or not, all of chapter 3. So give me a second because I just had it here. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, and this will help get a better idea of what we're talking about, especially for those who maybe are not Christian at all or need some refreshing here. It's good to have this on here. So, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I command you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I command you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." That's Genesis chapter 3. I know there's a lot to take in there. So honestly, before, I hate to do this, but just because of really bad timing.
So I should answer that in 1 minute, huh?
You should answer that in about a minute and a half. Yeah. So the question really quick is, did God tempt Adam and Eve to sin? And after reading that, you can kind of see maybe why that question has come up. But I've actually heard that question before. It's not my own. So...
Yeah, I don't know that we'll be able to answer it in just 1 minute, so we might have to run into the next section here.
I think so.
There's so much here to talk about. We have to understand creation and worship and law and gospel and God's word to be able to tackle this. So maybe so we got about a minute until break.
You got about 40 with, seconds.
Yeah, okay. Start off with maybe what we need to do is know that when God created everything, the heavens and the earth, at the end of it, he said that it was very good.
Yeah.
You know, each day he said the things that he made were good, and at the end he said everything, including the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, were good creation. And so we need to start with that, knowing that that tree is actually a good thing that God created and gave to his people. And maybe after the break we can talk about why and what the purpose and point of that creation was.
This is the Wi-Files. We'll be right back.
They work night and day. They protect you from harm. They keep our homes and our neighborhoods out of danger. They have labored much to keep our cities, towns, and roads safe. To our policemen and women, for the many sacrifices that you have made in order to keep us safe, we give you a very, very big thank you. This message is brought to you by KNNA 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, old lovable Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. And joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Hankinson, North Dakota. And we didn't really get into the topic a whole lot, but I did read Genesis chapter 3 and a little bit of Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. So if you missed that, I suggest going back and reading that to help you understand why we have the question of, David?
Of why did God place the tree in the garden? It seems as though he's tempting Adam and Eve by doing that. So what gives?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, it's a good question. And so the first thing we were talking about is in the creation that everything that God makes is good. And even we talked chapter 1, verse 31 of the book of Genesis, God says that everything is even very good. And so that includes the tree, even though perhaps it does play a role in the original sin coming about. Because it was God's creation and because he said everything was very good, the tree was good for in the beginning. Now, what is attached to that goodness is also God's word and command that Adam and Eve could eat of every tree in the garden, but of that particular tree, they were not to eat. And so we have a word from God that is attached there to that tree. You shall not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In his Genesis commentary, Martin Luther talks about that and answers the question on why this word was attached to this particular tree. And he says that it's the place that Adam and Eve went to worship. When we go to worship, what's the thing that we're doing? We're hearing God's word. We're reciting it back and forth. God speaks, and we speak back to him what he has said. That's what's to happen there at this particular tree. Adam and Eve go there for their weekly church service, and they point at the tree, and they say, God's word says we should not eat from this tree. And then you can see in that command and in that word of God that Adam not only is the first father — this is Father's Day, and fathers is a good and God-pleasing vocation — but he's also, in a way, the first pastor. He's to gather his family together, recite God's word about that tree, and in so doing, they have their church service. I think maybe where the confusion comes about with this is lots of times we think that God's law is bad. And so God saying, don't eat from this tree, is a bad thing. No, that's not the case. God's word is always good. God's law is always good. It is wise. It is useful. It is beneficial to the Christian. The trouble is when we don't listen to that word, when we go against it, and even in the fall into sin, Adam is the one who falls into sin because he does not carry out his godly vocation of being the pastor slash father and reciting to Eve and to Satan during the temptation that they ought not eat from the fruit of that tree. God's word was good. The action and the things that Adam and Eve did there were not good because they were not in keeping with God's word. So I don't know if that makes sense or if you have questions about that, let me know.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody make mention that the tree was a place of worship.
That's new to me as well.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. So the tree wasn't placed in the Garden of Eden as a temptation, but as a gift, as a place of worship. Then,
yeah, I mean, so in the divine service, that's what we do. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And therefore God's name is placed upon us. And when we respond by confessing our sins, God's word is spoken, those sins are forgiven. We hear the scripture readings, and then we speak back to God in the confession of the creed, what he said. That's what happens in worship. God gives us his word, and then we speak that word back to him. Mm-hmm. And so that's what was supposed to happen at the tree. And so you see, too, in that the way that Satan attacks, Satan is not that smart. He only has one trick. He's very good at that trick, and he uses it in lots of different ways, but he only really has the one trick, and that is to undermine God's word. And so the part that you read there, Jim, we even see God do it, or not God doing that, Satan doing that. Satan says, "Did God really say you weren't supposed to eat?" And Eve said, "Yeah, he did." And then Satan says, "You won't surely die," which is a direct contradiction of what God's word said.
Yeah.
So what is Satan attacking there? He's attacking God's word. He's disrupting worship. And sad to say, that same attack goes on all the time now when we want to worship contrary to God's word, when we believe things that are contrary to God's word. We're falling into the same sin that Adam fell into at the Garden of Eden. It is Father's Day, you know, and this is, fathers are supposed to do the same thing Adam was supposed to do, supposed to make sure all their family goes to church on a regular basis. They're supposed to lead prayers and devotions in their homes on a regular basis. They're supposed to know the scriptures and be able to teach their family the scriptures. That's a father's duty. That's the very duty that Adam shirked. And I think in our world today, lots of dads shirk that very same duty. Happy Father's Day. I'm not trying to be negative on dads. I have four kids of my own. And it's easy for me even to find excuses not to do that. But if we fulfill that godly office, if we are the spiritual leaders of the family, if we give our families God's word and bring them to church to hear God's word, that is a good and God-pleasing thing, the same as what was supposed to happen at that tree in the garden.
So from the very beginning of time, from the very beginning of Scripture, we're supposed to go to church. No matter, you know, you've got Satan there saying, "God didn't say you had to get up out of bed and go to church, did he? Did he?" But right. Yeah, I mean, you're pointing out that even since Garden of Eden, we're supposed to get up and go worship as God commands us to do.
Right, and then you see, reciting that particular word, they were free to eat of all the other trees and fruits and things of the garden as well, including before sin, they were able to eat from the tree of life. It's not until they come into sin that they're unable to do that. And then us as Christians, we are promised that one day when we are in heaven that we get to partake of that tree of life, when our sin is forgiven completely and totally, and when we are no longer in this world of sorrows and tears. We get to partake of that tree that Adam and Eve should have partaken of long, long ago. And we even have that hymn in our hymnal, The Tree of Life. If you take a look at that, I think that hymn does a great job of talking about all these things that we've just mentioned.
There's a couple of things on my mind, and one of them could take another entire episode. So I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to throw this out here. If God knew that they were going to sin, why even have it there in the first place? Now, again, this is actually a question I came across, because a lot of the questions I find are actually from YouTube, out of all places. People have these questions, and of course they never go to the right source to find the answer. But it's one of the main questions I've seen is, if God knew that people were going to sin, why did he put that there in the first place? I mean, so if God knew that we were going to sin, I mean, maybe you've answered this already, but why put it there if he knew we were going to sin?
Well, it wasn't, it's not there for the purpose of being a temptation or leading us away. It is, in fact, Satan that does that, that tempts us and leads us away. You remember from our catechism that God tempts no one. And that also is then in the scriptures as well, that God tempts no one. And that was no different here with this particular tree. Satan's conniving work is the thing that turned that good thing from God, the place of worship, into the place where sin entered the world. And that's Satan's, like I said, it's his one trick. It's the thing he does all the time. It's even what his name means. The word Satan is just the Greek word for accuser. He takes God's good things and he corrupts them, destroys them, ruins them, uses them against God. And the good news, I guess, for us is that even though he does that, in the end, he's the loser. Mm-hmm. He's a big loser. God wins. Christ died and rose. We're forgiven. And one day that beautiful picture of worship and reciting God's word and being at peace with God and eating from the tree of life will be restored to us. And that's good news for us. And so we can't make God the author of sin, because if God is the author of sin, then we have a dangerous, an evil God. And mm-hmm. God didn't create sin. That was our work, led astray by Satan. God did not create the tree for the purpose of sin. That also was our work when we disobey God's word.
So if I understand correctly, so the tree was a place of worship. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, but sort of the function of that worship, or how it functioned rather, was through obedience, Adam and Eve's obedience to the rule that they should not eat of it. Am I kind of on the right track with
Yeah,
that?
Well, I mean, all worship is speaking back to God, God's word. And so in the beginning, when everything was good and very good, Adam and Eve's worship consisted of, God gave them one rule at that time, do not eat from this tree. When they walked by the tree and saw it, they would speak that word, this is the tree we're not to eat from. And so in a way, before sin, we are obedient. And that's not the challenge that it is now, because Adam and Eve had no sin, and we have no idea what that's like now. We are born with sin. We deal with sin each and every day. And so it's difficult, because our world is not the same world that this happened in terms of sin and righteousness.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Oline from Hankinson, North Dakota, who serves at Emmanuel and St. John Churches. They're about 6 miles apart. So that's a pretty good distance. You don't have to go too far. That's not so bad.
No.
So we've been talking about the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and Adam and Eve, and the garden, and whether or not God actually tempted them, which we know he didn't. So anyways, I do have a little follow-up question before we get to our next part of our segment, so hang in there. This is the Y-Files. We'll be right back for some more great content.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Well, hello there. I'm old lovable Jack's sister, Debbie, and I am reminding you to tune in to When Music Was Music on KNNALP FM 95.7 in Lincoln. In fact, I encourage you to tune in to all of FM 95.7's great programming. I live near Chicago, and I listen on my computer. You can too. You can find this great station at www.thecross957.org, and you can even download the KNNA app. Then you will not only be able to hear all the great programs wherever you go, but you won't miss my brother's fun big band program either. I know you'll be richly rewarded through FM 95.7's daily faith strengthening programs, along with all the fun entertainment programs too. Tune in. I do.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Welcome back to the Wi-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
There it is. I told you I'd get that in there. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Olean from Hankinson, North Dakota, and we've been talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, sin, Satan, all that jazz. So, I recommend going back to this program once it gets onto the website, thecross957.org, and go to the archive, or the Wi-Files page, I mean, and you can listen to this program after this program is over, so that way you can catch up on it. And then I also recommend reading Genesis chapter 1 through 3, actually, not just the parts that we've been reading, but Genesis chapters 1 through 3. That will give you a really good insight as to what we are talking about. Now, the follow-up question for the ending this part of the question is this. Especially, this is in chapter 3 of Genesis. First of all, God gave life without death. Am I correct on that, Pastor?
Yeah. In the beginning, there was no death.
Okay, so then at the fall into sin, that just completely changes. I mean, everything changes at that point. So then eventually God takes away the tree of life in chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, and he says he doesn't want man to live forever. Well, why doesn't God want us to live forever?
Well, I think you have to be careful to say it that way. It's not that God doesn't want us to live forever. But rather, God does not want us to live forever in sin. And you all know, and all the listeners know, that this world is sinful, that there are bad things that happen, that there are days that you feel just defeated, and that there's really, you wonder why keep on going on with it. That's the effect of sin. God does not want us to have to deal with that forever. God does not want us to live in sin forever. And so God allows death to take place as the punishment for sin, so that through death we might be rescued from sin. And we see that even promised there in Genesis chapter 3 already, in verses, 14 and 15, the curse to Eve, the whole thing there, or sorry, the curse to the serpent, God promises a Savior all the way back here in Genesis 3. He does so, verse 15, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We have, in the church, and throughout all the history of the church, have understood this to be the very first promise of Jesus, the proto-evangelion is what we call it, the first gospel. And so there we see Jesus promised immediately after the fall into sin. And the promise is that the offspring of Eve will crush the offspring of Satan or sin, and will do so by having his own heel bruised or pierced with a nail. In the movie The Passion of the Christ, there's actually a good scene that depicts this whole idea that is taken from these words of Genesis. When Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see the snake that, slither. It slithers over to Jesus while he's praying that God might find another way, and God does not give another way. Jesus must go to the cross. So Jesus stands up and he steps on that snake, killing it, crushing its head. That is a reference here to Genesis chapter 3 and the promise of a Savior to rescue from sin. Now, being rescued from sin, we do get to live forever. We have already died with Christ in baptism, and if we have died with Christ in baptism, we will surely raise with Christ in the resurrection. What he is now, as far as living forever, one day we will experience. We shall live forever. Christ has promised that to us. We are sure and certain of that. And so we do get to live forever. We do get to eat from the tree of life, but we get to do so apart from sin, suffering, sorrow, tears, pain, and all that goes with it. Revelation chapter 7, I think, does a great explanation of that. When we see all the people that are in heaven, clothed in the white robes of baptism, and these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They neither hunger no more nor thirst no more. The sun shall not beat down upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's our promise. Sin gone, life forever, in the peace and joy and comfort of our living God.
You know, and most of the time when people read the book of Revelation, they freak out. that's one of the most comforting verses in Revelation in this particular case that I don't think most people actually read. They look at all the other frightening stuff, but they don't look at what really matters, I think.
Right. And even when someone's dying and your pastor comes, at least, you know, us Missouri Synod pastors, we oftentimes do the commendation of the dying with the people who are close to leaving this world. And that's one of the scripture lessons that we read to them. And one of the things I always make sure to point out when I read that with members is that that's picturing them. All the people in the white robes, that's us. Mm-hmm. You're there, Jim. You're there, David. You're there, listener in Lincoln, Nebraska. All of us are there in baptismal gowns, forgiven of our sins by Jesus Christ. We're pictured there in heaven already. And so we're saved already, and yet not yet, because we are still here in this world of suffering.
I'm speechless on that one. That's great. that's just so good. That's amazing. So we need to move on to the next part. So David, before you ask your question, I'd like to give a little bit of reference for this next question.
Okay.
And I'm going to read quick from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. And it says, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." David, what's that question now that we have that reference for that verse?
Why does God punish future generations for the sins of their fathers? For example, the Hebrews wandering in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's a good question, and one that takes a little bit of work. We have to understand the nature of sin first off, and we have to realize, I think, to be honest with you, the reason we ask this question lots of times is because we like to judge things in human terms. We like to look and we like to say that one person is more guilty than another one. For example, Jim is much more guilty than David, obviously, right? Because we like David better, and Jim, you know, we don't like him as well. So David, we make David's those human looking, judgments yeah. all the time, right?
That's absolutely right. We do that.
But God doesn't see it that way. God looks back at sin and its beginning, and because Adam and Eve both sinned, specifically Adam, actually, his sin of not being the good father, not proclaiming the word, not trusting the word, that sin has passed down to all generations. And for that reason, the consequence for sin has passed down to all generations as well. And the consequence for that sin is, of course, death. Now, it is kind of a hereditary thing because Adam is our spokesman. He's the one who spoke on all our behalf. He's our first father. And so when he sins, sin passes down to all his descendants. All of humanity is separated from God and faces the punishment for sin. What's the reason for that? Well, God wants to teach us not to love this world. God wants us to love Him. And because we love this world, there are bad things that happen. And every person loves this world more than God. This is the whole first commandment. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We don't do that. We trust in our checkbooks. We trust in our doctors. We trust in our large home. We trust in our family and friends. We trust in all sorts of things because of our sin. So God allows us to suffer and to die so that we don't love this world. I go and I visit people in the hospital, shut-ins or people in nursing homes, and maybe you've seen this as well. When you visit someone who's been in the nursing home for a long time, oftentimes they say, "Pastor, I'm just ready to go. I don't know why I'm still here." What's behind that? They've been in the world and the sorrow and the suffering so long. They've lost friends. They felt sorrow. They no longer love this world. They're ready to depart and to be with Christ, which St. Paul says is a far better thing. So maybe that's a quick answer. It's a hard question, and I suppose we could talk about it probably for a whole hour or two, but there's a quick answer.
Yeah, and just one thing I wanted to say about the reference I gave of Exodus. One of the reasons why God had the Hebrews wander in the wilderness for 40 years was so the generation that sinned would have passed away. Am I correct on saying that?
Well, yeah, that's definitely the case. Now, the thing that's tough is the next generation that grew up, they're also sinners.
Yeah.
We could say as well, though, that God is teaching us about our world and our lives. You have them wandering around the wilderness, and in the end, they pass through the water of the Jordan River and enter the Promised Land, in the same way that we wander around in this sinful world, and through baptism, in the end, we enter into the Promised Land. And you could do the same thing with Noah's Ark and lots of other places, but it all does come down to, and I think this is maybe even the next question as well, is sin really need to be punished? Is sin lead us all to death? Is sin serious? And of course the answer is yes.
Yeah. Yes. It's that time again. Oh my goodness, I got so into that one I lost track of time. So I have so much fun doing this program, guys. I really do. It's one of the things I look forward to most. Even if it is Father's Day and I could be enjoying a beer or a steak or something on this day, I would actually rather be doing this. This is so much more exciting. But joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Olien from Hankinson, North Dakota, and he serves at Emmanuel and St. John Lutheran Church. So if you happen to be in southeast North Dakota, that little corner over there, and you need a church, I definitely recommend that place. So I'm Captain Kirk, along here with David, and if you have any questions out there, you go to our Facebook page, the Y Files, the letter Y, Y Files, and you can submit your question there, and we will try to get it on this program as soon as possible, which we have had several questions already from listeners on this program, so we do get to them. So if you have any questions that we haven't done yet, submit them on the Y Files page on Facebook. We got more coming up. Don't go away.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Pop, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, exists to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. We are a graduate institution that serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as we prepare men for the pastoral ministry and ladies for service as a deaconess within our congregations. It is a preparation to be sent out to preach the gospel in the United States and throughout the world. If you want further information, feel free to give us a call at area code 260-452-2155.
Welcome back to the Y Files. I'm Captain Kirk along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
I love it when I get it in there twice. That's amazing. We're joining us this afternoon is Pastor Adam Moline from Hankinson, North Dakota. We've been discussing a lot.
Indeed.
Sin, God, Adam and Eve, the passing down of sin. Oh, this has been great stuff. So I definitely recommend if you've missed it this afternoon, you can tune in later in the week or go to the website, thecross957.org, go to the Y-Files page, and you can listen to the most recent program, which will be this one not long after this program is over. This has been great. We're going to move on. So, David, what do we have next?
Question three, there are several occasions where God wipes people off the earth in the Old Testament. If God is a loving God, then why is he so violent, taking life instead of giving it or blessing it?
Yeah, this goes back to our discussion on Genesis 3, and even a little bit the last question about the consequences of sin and how original sin affects us all. You remember when God created everything, it was very good. And part of that goodness was that Adam and Eve and all creation were going to live forever, had eternal life here in the world that was very good at the time. And the consequence for disobeying God's word, for not speaking God's word in the face of Satan's attacks, was death. If you eat from this tree, you shall surely die. And that was the promise attached to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve ate from that tree, and the consequence was that they would surely die. That consequence passed down throughout all generations to all of their descendants. And I think the place that we need to understand when we ask this question is that every person on the world then, descended from Adam and Eve, is guilty of sin, and therefore death awaits them. And this is, when we ask this question, we're trying to divide up, again, the good people and the bad people according to human judgment. But when we look across every person in the world, according to God's eyes, we see that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore all face death. Now, in the scriptures, we see that recounted for us in a number of ways. Right after Cain and Abel, you remember Cain killed his brother Abel, and then in the book of Genesis, we have kind of a refrain in chapter 5. Adam had another son named Seth. Adam lived for 800 years afterwards. All of his days were 930 years, and then he died. Seth had a son, lived 912 years, and then he died. His son Enosh lived for 905 years, and he died. And that refrain continues on throughout all the pages of Scripture. Abraham dies. Moses dies. Jacob dies. David dies. Solomon dies. Every single person in there dies as a result of sin, save there's just a few exceptions that God takes them away. We like to think that it's not fair that some would get killed in battle against God's people. We like to think that it's not fair also in our modern day that some might die from cancer, that some might die from Alzheimer's, that some might die from car accidents. We even say sometimes in those circumstances they died too early. And yet behind it all is the consequence for sin. What we also have to remember is the promises already given to us in Genesis chapter 3, that through Jesus, death would be destroyed. That after this world, for those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is a world to come, eternal life, peace, comfort, and joy. And so God allows those large groups of people to be wiped out, certainly. That's the consequence for sin, that they would die. God also allows his own people to die, Abraham, Isaac, and all the rest. Mm-hmm. Death is the result of sin, and all are guilty of sin, and therefore all deserve the judgment, the legal judgment, that we ought to die. The unfair thing is that in Jesus we get to live, that we have the hope of eternal life. That's the part that's not fair. That's the part that's undeserved, unearned. It's the part that we are unworthy of. As John the Baptist says, he's not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. Why? Because Jesus is going to take his death and destroy it. And that, even John, you know, he gets his head chopped off by the Roman soldiers working for Herod. And yet he gets to live because of Jesus.
One of the things I've noticed with you saying all of that is a lot of death happens what appears to be things by man or just things by sin in general. But when it comes to, say, the Great Flood, I mean, that was God's hand directly wiping out people off the face of the earth. I mean, again, the question of if God is a loving God, why would he kill so many people?
Yeah, this goes back to what we said before. God does not wish for us to live forever in our sin. He wants us to live forever apart from sin, in the joy and peace that only he provides. And so allowing death to take place, allowing people to die, is, I don't know how to say it, maybe in the end, it's for that person's good, so that they might be apart from sin, so that they might live forever in the peace and joy. So God is not being an angry, vengeful God that so often people often picture him as. God is good. God shows love where it's undeserved in Jesus. God rescues from death. He doesn't allow death to be our end. We always, in many funerals, we have the passages from John chapter 11 where Jesus calls Lazarus out from the tomb and says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." So God's angry at sin, sure, but death is allowed to happen so that we might live apart from sin. in the resurrection that is to come. And that's where our hope and our promise is and ought to be found.
So someone listening might ask this question of, okay, so let's take the Great Flood, for example, again. So did God destroy the people of this world except for a select few out of mercy?
Well, he saved this select few from mercy. And what is the thing that set them apart from the rest of the world? It's not that they were better people or that they had given more money to charitable causes or that they were better looking or they had been in Hollywood movies. What's the thing that saved them is faith in the promise of Jesus Christ. That promise had already been promised to Adam and Eve. It had been passed down. Every single person in the world has the same opportunity to believe that promise. And so in that promise, now take St. Paul, for example. St. Paul believed that promise. The world hated him for it and chopped off his head. Is he afraid? Sure, maybe a little bit, but what does he know comes about afterwards? Mm-hmm. Eternal life.
Right.
St. Stephen, stoned to death. God rescues him from death, and he even sees the gates of heaven open as his life is coming to its end. St. Peter, crucified upside down. St. Lawrence, grilled alive. All these people trust, have the same faith that trusts in Jesus Christ, and therefore death has no power over them. And that's the same in all these circumstances. In faith, doesn't matter how you die, whether eliminated in battle or cancer or any of those things, in faith in Jesus Christ, death is not your end. You shall live forever and be at peace and comfort and joy with God.
That's very comforting for anyone who does fear death. I mean, that's all I could say right there. I mean, that's very comforting because there's a lot of people who they just focus on death and maybe is at the end or where are they going after that. One thing that they can take comfort in is knowing that Christ died for them and that, like you say, death is not the end, and that's very comforting for those who fear death.
In our baptism, we're kind of like Velcro stuck to Jesus. And so, in a way, us Christians, we already have died. We've already suffered for sin. We've received the punishment with Jesus, but we also have risen from the dead with Jesus, and we live and reign to all eternity with Jesus under his kingdom. And so in that way, we have good news that Christ is victorious, and because we belong to him, we too have victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. So, you know, death is the enemy. We ought to be wary of it. We ought not to love it. We ought not to bring it about. We ought not to take our own lives or even the lives of others, especially, you know, one of the challenges in our society today is the mass murder of the unborn.
Yep.
And yet we have comfort and joy that death, because of Jesus, has no power over us. St. Paul says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Because of Jesus, it has no victory. Because of Jesus, the sting of death is muted. We say in funeral liturgies as well, from the book of Thessalonians, that we do not mourn as others do who have no hope, because if Christ is risen from the dead, so too shall we. And there's kind of a random, it's not the best quoting of that scripture, but it's fairly close, I think. So.
This is Adam, Pastor Molina, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on. Again, he is from Pastor Molina is from Hankinson, North Dakota, at Emmanuel St. John Lutheran Churches. If you happen to be in the area, go there for church. Highly recommended. Pastor Molina, thank you for being on the Y Files. It's great to have you on, and hopefully we'll have you on again.
My pleasure.
So I am Captain Kirk, along here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello, David.
Say goodbye, David.
Goodbye, David.
This has been the Y Files. If you have any questions, go to our Facebook page, the Y Files, letter Y. Have a good weekend, Lincoln. Have a good week. We'll see you later.